Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Hook, Line, and Splitter is a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law. We understand the toll injuries take on families, and we're here to help. For a free consultation, call 1-866-909-6894 or visit JuddShawInjuryLaw.com. That's Judd with two Ds, Shaw Injury Law. Blue Claws wrapping up the first half of the season, the pre-All-Star break season here this weekend at Shoretown Ballpark. And our guest today will pitch in the game tonight, July 8th, Jordan Fowler, the left-hander from Tennessee, went to Central Missouri, and he's in his third year pitching in the Philly system. He's had an excellent season, and we talk about his year, his time in Adelaide this winter, where he pitched for the Adelaide Giants, one of seven current Blue Claws who were on the Adelaide Giants team that won the ABL championship last winter. Jordan, a 3.19 ERA and one of the 10 best ERAs in the Sally League going into his start tonight. So we'll get to that with Jordan Fowler in just a moment. So the Blue Claws will be home through Sunday the 9th, and then they'll hit the road beginning Friday. So they'll take the four-day All-Star break coinciding with the Major League All-Star break and then play three games in Rome, Georgia, beginning on Friday the 14th. And then from there, six games in Winston-Salem before returning home after this weekend. Only four home series left, 24 home games left after this week for the Blue Claws, including back-to-back series beginning that last week of July. So we will get to that a little bit coming up on the backside. We'll give you the some promo rundown and the like coming up. But let's get to our interview with Blue Claws left-hander Jordan Fowler, Hook, Line, and Splitter, presented by Judd Shaw Injury Law. Our guest, Blue Claws left-hander Jordan Fowler, joins us today on Hook, Line, and Splitter. Jordan, welcome. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing great. So off to a good start this year. How do you think it's gone for you so far?
It's been pretty good. I've just been trying to be consistent each time I go out there and give us a chance. And so just my thing is just, you know, if I throw strikes, you know, let them get themselves out, and I'll give our team the best chance to win.
How would you describe your style?
I would definitely say just like mainly just a strike thrower. We got three pitches that I can throw in the zone whenever I want, and I think that allows me to kind of be deceptive in a way, and get outs and get soft contact and hopefully get me through at least five or six innings.
We talked to Matt Osterberg on here a couple of weeks ago, and he said one of his goals is to just go out there and try to get, not just get outs, but get outs while using as few pitches as possible. Do you kind of approach it the same way?
Absolutely. Conserving the pitch count and going deeper in games is definitely one of my goals when I go out there, so I can go as deep as I can.
You had that game in Wilmington on June 17th, and Matt went seven the same week. You threw seven innings and 79 pitches to get through those seven innings. So on a night like that, when everything's working, what's kind of your approach? And is it all? Does it have to always start with strike one?
I would say so, yeah. Definitely getting ahead, getting strike one, strike two as quick as I can is definitely the goal. And then hopefully finishing early within three, four, five pitches is the goal.
So Matt said he always liked to watch your starts because you were kind of, you know, pretty similar and, you know, left-handed, say, you know, I don't want to say pitch to contact, but, you know, throw a lot of strikes and keep the hitters off balance with any pitch and any count. That sort of thing. So in a series like this one, this weekend, where you're going to pitch after he does, do you kind of watch his starts a little closer?
Yeah, absolutely. I always watch Austie's starts just so I can get a gauge on how the hitters approach his stuff. Because we usually, we have a similar arsenal, obviously we're both lefties, similar arm path as well. So I would definitely pay attention to his starts and see what they do, and that kind of helps me for my own.
You got a taste of the Blue Claws last year, just the one appearance in relief at the end of the season. But yeah, a really good year with Clearwater down there in Florida. your first kind of full season experience. What did you learn last year, and what did you take from Clearwater that has helped you this year?
I would definitely just say, like I had said, about just throwing strikes. At this level, I feel like if you can just stay out of the heart of the zone while you can still throw strikes, you're gonna have some decent success. And I've seen that to be pretty much the same here in high A. Some pitches get hit a little harder up here than they do down there, but overall, pretty much the same. Not too much a difference.
You had the opportunity in the winter to go to Australia. How did that come to be, and what was that experience like?
That was an awesome experience. It was really a broad competition range where, say, some of the lower level teams out there would be around rookie ball competitiveness, and then say the top two teams would be around AA, AAA. Competition. So it was awesome to see, awesome to play against some of those higher level teams, just to see kind of, you know, what that taste is like. And the team was awesome. Really great team, really great. Just being in Adelaide, everything was really, really exciting and really just an eye opener for me.
So I know you never formally played for him, for Tank, last year when he was in the complex, but you're in Clearwater and obviously you knew him. Did he come to you, or how did it come to be where you ended up going down there?
It was about a week after the season ended. Just got back from Jersey Shore, just got back home, and I got a call from pitching coordinator Hergie. Mm-hmm. And it was him and Edwin Soto just talking about if I wanted to go play in Australia. And basically to me, it was an automatic yes, of course I will. Any type of opportunity like that, I'm gonna go for it. And I told him, I talked to my parents for a little bit, told him after a couple of days that I was in.
What was the, was there any like culture shock? What was the biggest adjustment you had to make?
I would say the biggest immediate adjustment was driving on the opposite side and on the opposite side of the road was definitely the first adjustment to be made. But other than that, I mean, it was great. We lived downtown. You know, everything was right there, walkable distance. So definitely different from where I grew up, 100%. But other than that, I mean, it's just like, you know, a big town here in the U.S.
And obviously you guys had a great team and won the championship, and you started game one of each of the two best of three playoff series down there. So what about that team camaraderie? And it's kind of cool that it's carried over with, I think, 7 plus Tank guys from that team are here this summer, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, that was the, I believe, one of the bigger factors in us winning that was that our camaraderie, our team bonding was just on a different level. We had a bunch of older guys, so a lot of guys just had the accountability of keeping guys in check, you know, doing everybody's jobs, making sure everybody was on their thing. And that was really the biggest, you know, I don't believe we were the most talented team, but we definitely were the closest. So, you know, that kind of comes over and plays into some of what we've got going on with the Blue Claws here with those 7 guys. And it's been fun. You know, all those guys are really close to me and vice versa. And, you know, I think that brings a different level of play here.
Who were some of the better hitters that you faced when you were down there?
One that really sticks out is a younger guy, Junior Caminero, who's really kind of come out for the Rays this year. He's in AA, I believe. He was one of the more power hitters, the more feared hitters. And then you've got some of those veteran guys like Pete Cosma down there, mm-hmm. that are down there for a long time, making names for themselves, that are always hard outs.
Yeah, Caminero hit .356 with 11 homers in 30 games with Bowling Green in this league, and now he's hitting over .300 in AA with Tampa Bay there in Montgomery so far this year. So that's a good find for sure. When you know you play to win, obviously, describe the feeling to for you to win, but down there with Adelaide. But then not only that, you kind of have this city that really rallied behind the team. They hadn't won a lot. I think that was their first championship in 30 some odd years. What was the whole thing like with the vibe of the city when you guys pulled it out?
They were excited. They've been talking about this drought for a while, and it was really interesting to see all the fans come together and get behind us, especially the last couple of weeks. And the belief was there. There really wasn't any doubt, I don't feel like, in their minds that we couldn't pull it out, because we definitely had everything to pull it out, and they were behind us every step of the way.
What did you learn there? How are you a better pitcher now because of going to Australia?
I would definitely say facing those tougher teams definitely gave me some tips on just being able to fill it up and fill it up early, because they're going to jump out and get it. And if you're behind, they're definitely going to take their swing and put a good swing on it. So being able to throw everything in the zone competitively is definitely probably the biggest takeaway.
So had the Phillies come to be for you there, coming out of Central Missouri? You signed in 2021, sorry, you signed in 2020, the COVID year. So obviously your spring season gets cut short. The draft's only five rounds. How did everything come to be with the Phillies?
Yeah, it was a really tough year for me. I was really hoping for at least maybe 10. Hopefully I'd sneak in there, but five, you know, there was some calls for the fifth, but never came to be. I knew I was going to sign that year, regardless, 5, 10, whatever. I just wanted to get in there and get my feet wet as soon as I could. And so I was talking to Justin Munson, my area scout, and we were pretty close at the time. So I went ahead and signed the deal.
I guess because of the draft was only five rounds, you had a lot of quality players that were available as free agents. So you guys, it's a little different. Instead of the major league club picking you, you kind of get to pick them. So what stood out about the Phillies?
It was between them and a few others. I really developed a relationship with Munson. He was a guy that kept, he was in my phone. We kept talking as it got closer to the draft. And I really liked Hergie. I liked his approach on things. And he was really a big turning point for me, because I believe my pitching coach knew Hergie when he was pitching or was coaching some junior college down there.
Yeah, Hergie coached in Iowa, I think, at a junior college in Iowa or something like that before he so maybe from that the Midwest baseball out there.
Yeah. So he knew Hergie, so that gave me a little comfort in choosing the Phillies.
He was at North Iowa Area Community College for 15 years, and then he joined the Phillies in December, January 2019, right before the COVID shutdown year. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So tell us about Central Missouri.
It was awesome. It was great. It was exactly what I needed coming out of Ole Miss. Not that Ole Miss is bad. It was great. Central Missouri, it was exactly what I needed. The pitching coach there, he took me under his wing, knew what we needed to do to get back to my true form, and definitely got me there. And I give a big credit to my success is my pitching coach, Damian Stamberski. He really credited to a lot of me getting back to where I needed to be.
When you got drafted out of high school, did you consider going or no?
Absolutely. It was a number for me at a high school that never quite reached, got really close. But at a high school, I was dead set on coming. And then things stirred up at the end, closer to the draft, and ended up getting a little more money to go to college. So I ended up doing that instead.
So what attracted, what, tell us about your experience there at Ole Miss. What'd you learn and how did everything, you know, obviously the path is the path, but how did it end up at Ole Miss?
I would say it was definitely a lot of good experience there. Definitely your normal from high school to college experience as a normal human. That definitely happened. So all that was good, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. Definitely just learned how to, you know, take responsibility for my own and be accountable. But no, it was fun. Freshman year, we were able to, you know, win the SEC tournament, mm-hmm. and we were pretty good both years, making regionals, super regionals, all that. And I was able to get some SEC tournament experience, some regional experience, under, you know, 10,000-15,000 people. So, all that was really good. Had a really good year, freshman year. So I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you know, I don't think people up here appreciate the breadth and how big college baseball is away from here.
Like yeah, I mean, it's night and day, really. You know, you only have 40 games. You're there to win every single one. No matter the situation, you're there to win. And I mean, it's always a different, you know, a different deal when you go from 40 to 140. It's a sprint instead of a marathon. So
growing up in Tennessee, who was a team that you rooted for? Who was a pitcher you like to watch?
Growing up in Tennessee, I would say I really watched a lot of Vanderbilt, especially growing up there. Really good. Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, all those were my top three schools. I ended up watching not really many lefty pitchers, but I just remember the Carson Fulmer, the Walker Buehler. Those were the guys I watched growing up. When it was Vanderbilt, Florida, LSU growing up, those were those teams, you know, that everybody wanted to be on and still is today. So those are kind of the guys I grew up watching.
Did you watch any big league baseball?
Oh, yeah, I did. Definitely. I'm a Red Sox fan, so I grew up watching Dustin Pedroia. For some reason, he's my favorite player. Doesn't really, you know, match any of what I do, but I love watching his energy and passion. It was different to me. And I think that 2007, 2011 team really just stuck in my mind for, you know, for since today. So they've always been my favorite team.
Did you remember the 04 team when they came back from 3-0 down against the Yankees? Pedroia wasn't there yet, but you remember that, or you were too young?
I wish. I was too young. I think I just started getting into baseball at 8 years old, and that 07 team was the one that I really latched onto with Manny and Big Poppy and all of them. But definitely, I do know about the 04 team for sure.
So I guess looking at a map here, you grew up a little closer to St. Louis than Atlanta, probably, right? Yeah. Did you go to any Cardinal games? Did you go to any big league ballparks?
Oh yeah, I've been to I've definitely been to a couple Cardinal games. Actually, more Cubs games than any team. So we'd go to Wrigley Field more than anything. But Cubs and Cardinals for sure were the teams that I went to.
I mean, back in the day, right? Everybody within like West Tennessee, Arkansas, most of Missouri, most of Iowa, Southern Illinois, they're all huge. Like the Cardinal, like radius of fans was a huge swath of the middle of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody where I'm from, you're either a Cardinal fan, or and then there's about 25% that are Braves fans, but mostly Cardinal fans.
Did you play any other sports, or were you always all baseball?
Oh yeah, I played played basketball up until middle school. That's the only sport.
And then you just focused on baseball from there?
Yeah. Just basketball up until middle school, and they had to make a decision. Obviously, I wasn't as good at basketball as I was at baseball, so went the baseball route.
Did you in high school? Did you play the field, or did you just pitch?
I did up until my junior year. I played some first base, some outfield, and then shut it down and became a PO after that.
Nice.
Things didn't go too well on the hitting side. So.
Well, it's not that easy. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. Did you come into 2023 here with the Blue Claws, or into your season with any major goals, or what are your goals here for the rest of the year?
I just took what our exit meeting, me and Hergy talked about, was to just get as many innings as possible. So he talked about 100+, and my goal is to get to at least 100 innings this year, which is a pretty tall task, but I feel like I'm on the right track. So I'm just going to keep doing my thing, and hopefully I can get there.
Well, you got 62 now, so you got another, you'll be in the high 60s or whatever coming out of the All-Star break, and then 6, 7, 8 more starts after that. So yeah, you're on a good path for sure.
Yeah, we're hoping so.
You got the opening day start in Brooklyn, where it was like 45 degrees. The wind is really whipping in there. But on the other hand, it is opening day. What do you remember about that one?
Oh, man, that was a tough start coming out in around 45.
At least it was a day game. Could have been a night game.
Exactly. But coming out 45 when you're just getting out of spring training at 85 was a big change. But awesome experience, though, opening day. Nothing like it.
So you're going to start tomorrow, right? Saturday?
Yes, sir.
So you've seen Hudson Valley before. You pitched well against them a couple of weeks ago. You'll see it's the fifth game of the series. So what's your approach going in, having pitched against them? And they have a couple of new guys, but it's a largely similar lineup. And then opportunity that you've had to watch, four games, including tonight's game. We're taping this on the 7th, tonight's game. So what's your approach going into your start tomorrow now, watching all these hitters and kind of having a pretty good feel for them?
Oh yeah, it's good. It's good always, see what they've done the couple days before. A lot of these guys I've faced even down in Tampa, in Low A. So very familiar with a lot of these guys. I really just stick to my strengths first, and then especially if there's big holes, I definitely try to exploit them. But just trying to stick to my game, and then whatever happens, happens.
I know you're not going to know who's catching, but when you find out who's catching you tomorrow, do you sit down with them and kind of come up with different plans for each hitter? And then, what are you doing in the dugout between innings? Let's say, for example, you started a guy with a couple of fastballs the first time. Maybe he gets a first pitch or two, breaking ball the second time. Take us through that kind of process.
Yeah, that's definitely something we talk about. We do that more in the clubhouse before we go down, and some of their key hitters. We try to go over sequences. If we need to work in and out, up down, where we need to miss, if we need to miss. And stuff like that.
What have you liked about working with Phil and Brady so far?
They've been great. It's a awesome mix. It's a good mix of new school, old school. With Phil obviously being the old school and Brady being the new school. It's been awesome. They really work with each other well, and they really know what they're talking about. They both got good feel over things. So it's been a really good situation there.
Yeah, Phil's been around for a while, obviously. Brady pitched last year. So what kind of perspective what kind of different perspective can he lend for you guys?
I mean, Brady, he's obviously pitched last year. So, I mean, he's definitely, got the feel of, what it's like if somebody's going through it. Somebody's on the highs, somebody's on the lows. He's been through it all, and he's, done it recently, so he definitely knows how all that works, and so that's always good to have somebody that's basically just like you but coaching you.
Yeah,
but it's great.
And then last question. So tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to pitch at 7:05. So what's your day like? What's your game day routine when on the day you're pitching?
I try to keep it pretty simple. I wake up, eat breakfast, brush my teeth, all that, take a shower, usually relax, maybe watch a movie, maybe watch a TV show. Try to get outside and try to feel out the day a little bit and see, you know, how the weather's going to treat me. Get some good fuel on me, but other than that, really not too much.
Awesome. Jordan did a great job. Appreciate a few minutes here. Congrats so far on a great season, and best of luck tomorrow and the rest of the way.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Greg.
All right. Thanks to Jordan Fowler, Blue Claws left-hander, for joining us here today on Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. Stream your favorite teams live, chat with your friends during a watch party, and test your skills at trivia. You'll score rewards. Being a fan of the minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the app or Google Play Store and start scoring rewards today. Blue Claws will be back home the last week of July, and they'll have back-to-back home series. Aberdeen will be here for the first one, and then Brooklyn will be here for the second one. There'll be fireworks on July the 28th, and then Saturday night, the 29th, is Salute to Heroes Night. And then the week after, more fireworks on Friday, August 4th, which is Star Wars Night. And then Saturday, August 5th, a special postgame fireworks show. And it's also Marvel Superhero Night with Captain Marvel as well. So a lot coming up at Shoretown. Again, only 24 home games left after the series ends this week on July the 9th. So make your way out to the ballpark. Blue Claws had one of their bigger named pitchers head up to Double-A Reading this week. That's right-hander Orion Kirkering, who began the year with Clearwater. No runs in 10 and a third innings, and then came to the Blue Claws on May the 9th and went 2-0, had three saves, 20 and a third innings. He gave up just four runs, 13 hits, walked six, and struck out 27 of 80 total batters faced. Super impressive, more than one out of every three hitters. And he went to Reading, made his debut with the Fightin' Phils on Thursday, threw a scoreless inning and struck out two in that game. So congrats to Orion on his promotion. Carlos Francisco was promoted last week up to Double-A Reading. He was named Phillies Minor League Pitcher of the Month for the month of June. And he spent almost all of June with the Blue Claws, where he gave up just one earned run in 9 2/3 innings with 13 strikeouts and saved four games, and then made one appearance for Reading in June with the Blue Claws on the season, a 2.93 ERA, five saves, 38 strikeouts, and 30 2/3 innings pitched. So he made 25 appearances with the Blue Claws this year, 41 last year, and 11 the year prior in 2021, 77 games. No pitcher has pitched more games as a Blue Claw than Carlos Francisco. So we wish him the best on his promotion to Double-A. That'll do it for this episode of Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon here in Shoretown.